Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, joined by Cameron.
Hello.
Hello. How we doing?
Good. We're going to go one-on-one.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight you.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, kind of get ready for pain.
Well, pain is about to come. Verbal pain, however, because we're going to
what a segue.
Socking it to some people.
The internet. You're a lyrical genius moving that along like that.
Yeah. What a segue. Anyway, we are talking about kind of the diversity that is kind of popping up in video games, but also the backlash that has come as a result of diversity popping up in video games. And I think by the end of this particular recording, we want to answer some questions that I keep seeing come time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, what are we kind of talking about when we talk about diversity?
So I think the catalyst towards this that has really sparked up in the conversation currently right now, Apex Legends released, which you have heard us talk about, which I have praised for having a very diverse cast of characters, both in race, gender, and sexuality. And so one of the big things was, when it first released, Apex Legends didn't have a white male cis character in the original lineup of six characters that you unlocked. There is two male characters you can unlock. One is definitely of color, and one is white, and you can unlock later in the game. So essentially, the game released with only one white male character, and people got mad. People got real mad.
It's such a strange reaction, isn't it? But yeah. I guess something you could foresee and something we've gotten used to at this point. Because, yeah, I think this kind of started with Overwatch. As well. Overwatch had a very diverse cast of kind of characters when they went into it. And obviously, as that game aged, more and more characters came out as diverse because their sexual orientations were kind of outlined in some kind of fashion, even though they weren't, on release. But Apex Legends really has released kind of their diversity right in your face. In fact, two of the three cover stars are on the LGBT spectrum.
Yeah, so you have Bloodhound, who the voice actress has confirmed was kind of always scripted to be non-binary.
Yep.
That is the conversation that they were having from day one with this. And then you've got, it's not Bangalore, Gibraltar.
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 The other long weird name.
Yeah, the other place. Yeah, that's the thing.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, Gibraltar and Bangalore are places.
Oh, that's why I've heard those words before.
Yeah.
Look at you go.
Elliot. but Gibraltar is a... number one, he's Maori, but he is also identified as having a same-sex relationship in his history when you go to his character description. Now, this isn't like things like Tracer and Soldier from Overwatch, who released with no, identity to them apart from what you could visibly see, and then in later media revealed that they were in fact gay and lesbian, or at least had same-sex relationships. This was from the gate diversity.
And I think part of the diversity in video games, it's more of it's a trend that's happening, a positive one from our perspective. But it's not just even these hero rosters, just stuff like
gaming
female protagonists are becoming more and more frequent. It just really wasn't a thing, 10 years back. But now, like, there's at least
a
good handful of games every year that have a strong female protagonist.
One that I like to point to is Uncharted Lost Legacy, where you had Nadine Ross and Chloe Frazier take up the two lead roles, which when it was first being developed, it was going to go to Sam and Sully, two white men. And somewhere along development, they went, this would be way more interesting if we made it these two female characters, one of which was previously a villain that we wrote into this, like a quite complicated and an interesting villain as well.
Yep.
And so they decided to go in a very different direction and use these two women. And that received backlash. People didn't believe that these two women could hold their own against, the military that they were going up against.
Oh, nobody could hold their own against the hundreds and thousands of people
being swarmed.
If
they think that Nathan Drake could survive that, but Chloe Frazier couldn't, I've got a newsflash.
Like a hand-to-hand combatist. Like,
Nathan Drake dies in the first game if you put reality to this, guys. First game, he's dead before he gets off that boat in the very opening.
Drake's
guaranteed.
Fortune.
Yeah.
Death.
So I think the main thing that we've noticed is, I remember there was Twitter, there was a tweet that went viral, and people absolutely piled on this guy who basically, when Apex Legends came out, pleaded with the developers to not make Gibraltar gay so that he could play as a male character because he couldn't play as a gay and he didn't want to play as any of the women. And it's interesting. Like, there is a robot there that like, he always uses the he pronoun, so he identifies as male. But, you know, he in no way... People aren't seeing him as a male character, but they have a huge problem with the fact that...
Sorry, what?
Wow. It's one of those episodes. With the fact that...
the fuck?
The Bloodhound, it identifies non-binary. People have a problem with that. Like, they can't enjoy the character.
Look,
suddenly.
People have a problem with a lot of things. I think the problem is it is a small minority of people probably having these opinions, but they're such a loud group of people.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people probably don't even... They might not even notice that diversity is coming into gaming in a big way. Maybe they're just kind of... They love games, they're on this kind of roller coaster, and they haven't even noticed that trend because it doesn't impact them that much. And I think that's fine to not notice. The problem is the people who notice and go, this is terrible.
Yep.
And there are a lot of those people. I see these kind of comments constantly because... Part of it is I'm always looking in these kind of threads, but also part of it is just it's out there in the world and you tend to stumble across it.
For the most part, I think the problem is that a lot of these people that speak like this, they exist in an echo chamber where the people who are happy with diversity, you'll get one or two will bite back because they get really passionate about it. But for the most part, I myself made a very clear promise to myself 2 years ago to stop getting in fights on the internet with people I don't know. I was not going to...
No, you just do it in a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't going to argue with strangers online about something that it wasn't... I don't exist as a teaching moment for them.
Yeah.
It's their responsibility to understand the world is bigger than they are.
And let's admit, these people aren't going to listen anyway, so nobody benefits in the end.
Yeah, they're going to read what I've written and they're never going to back down. I've had people who I've backed into a corner with arguments who have just basically got... They won't listen. And so I just decided this isn't worth my time anymore.
Yeah, we do have some comments. I think this is what this ended up being. We want to kind of take the kind of sentiment that is being reiterated time and time again whenever a new game releases with diversity in it. And we just want to kind of rebut that a little bit.
Yes.
And we can approach this in two ways. I think some of these comments are very predictable. It's what we're going to hear. And I feel like we can kind of rationally like take it. But otherwise, we could be... Cameron, maybe specifically, might get quite, you know.
Wow, I love that you think I can't be. No, I definitely will be passionate about some of these. Do you know what, though? In reading some of these, I see in some of them an argument that could be made. I definitely looked at one or two of them and went, do you know what? There is, but then it's just in terms of how it's worded or how the question goes beyond that, where I just go, well, no, you're an idiot.
Well, here's the thing. You're right. Some of these are more, I guess, logical,
logical
than your average comment. And I think I chose these specifically because. If somebody comes in and it's just the general kind of immature flame that you'd get from somebody who, you know, is a racist or is a sexist or whatever, then there's literally no point arguing against that.
Yeah.
Like, the answer to that or the rebuttal to that argument is so obvious that it doesn't need to be said. So some of these are a bit more mature, but still, once again, worth talking about and rebutting.
So let's hit it off. We've got the first one here, which I feel falls into the less mature side of this conversation. Because it immediately uses one of my favorite acronyms. When SJWs, which stands for Social Justice Warriors, which would be an awesome hero team in a comic book.
It would.
I want to write that. When Social Justice Warriors pressure devs into creating diverse characters, it impacts creative freedom.
Is that how you imagine they wrote that?
Yes. If I have to do any of these, you better believe I'm putting on the most annoying voice for them, which is my voice. So this one... Number one, like, I remember, like, there's this thing that people seem to think that we are, like, that social justice warriors, which, you know, if someone was to call me that, I have no problem with that, sure. If my problem is that I want more diversity and for people to be treated better in the world, great, call me that. I'll definitely be a warrior for that cause.
It's like when the word feminist is used as a negative, as a pejorative, and it's like, well, I mean, like, why can't we be feminists?
Yeah, call me that. Go ahead. Like, hurl that at me as an insult. It's not. It's that thing where people seem to believe that we are, you know, going to these devs and being like, man, you are doing us wrong. Da-da-da-da-da. What the reality is if you stay in your lane, I'm not going to come into your house and cut your wigs up at night. All right.
Threatening.
Yeah, I know, right? It's that thing where the most times I've seen people react in terms of social justice warriors going after a developer or something like that isn't when they've just kind of stayed the course that they're staying on. No one is harassing Naughty Dog about Nathan Drake always being white. No one's ever done that. People love Nathan Drake. What people do get harassed about is when they do something wrong and they should be called out for it. When someone like Quiet comes along in Metal Gear Solid and people call out Kojima for being a skeez.
Yeah, probably.
They should, because it was a skeezy character design.
Probably valid.
Like, that's when he gets called out. He wasn't called out for any of the other characters before that were women, even though he probably should have for a lot of the lingering shots of Meryl in her panties or Sniper Wolf with her top open down to her belly button in the Arctic tundra. Like, no one really called him out on that, but they called him out on Quiet, and people started being like, social justice warriors, we're restricting freedoms. No, we're just asking you to not be the worst.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, like, they use the word pressure, but yep. I don't even know that that's the applicable word. I think it's just as people, like, as society evolves and we grow, people become more confident in themselves enough to speak up and say, well, here's my perspective. And I think everybody agrees that everybody should have a perspective and should be able to voice it, well, you know, as long as that's not damaging.
Yeah.
And the more that we're growing and evolving as a society, the more of those kind of voices are being heard, and therefore our media has to adapt to society as a whole. And if that's what's happening, I don't know why that's a bad thing or restricting freedom. The developers still have all the freedom. They're just choosing to adhere to a kind of moving social standard.
It's this thing, right, where I personally... I think the thing that we need to talk about is, in fact, the flip side, is have you thought that maybe the standards of marketing and popular culture up until this point is a pressure on a developer to do things in a certain way?
Yeah, and I'm sure there are a lot of pressures on developers from so many different angles.
Well, Nadine, I like to bring up Nadine. Nadine is one of my favorite stories about how a character was created. She was originally a white male character. She was going to be a gross white male character who was like, I'm the leader of this... militia, meh, 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 meh. And then it was someone in the boardroom just said, but what if they weren't a white man? We've done a white man's villain in every single game so far. What if it's a woman? And what if she was actually black? And they went, yeah, what if? And that conversation started the point where we reached Nadine Ross, who was a phenomenal villain.
I still remember when Bioshock Infinite came out, they had Elizabeth on the cover. And there was so much pressure and backlash from focus groups and stuff like that. And people saying, no, I don't want like a female on my cover. I'm less likely to buy that they actually changed it. And it just became Booker on the cover, even though Booker's a considerably less interesting character to that plot. So that was pressures that the developer didn't want, but they ended up adhering to anyway. So it happens from every direction.
So why are we not then pressuring the marketing and all that to release pressure for freedom of creation? I think the big thing is Respawn have said that what they created with Apex Legends was what they wanted to create without pressure from an outside source. They took it to EA 3 times to pressure them into letting them release it.
I think you're right. I think this question...
ridiculous.
It's indicative of how the person who wrote it felt. They felt like, I don't want diverse characters, therefore the developers don't want diverse characters, therefore if there are diverse characters, it must be because of social justice warriors.
Yep.
And that just line of thinking is just, like, it's immature and it just doesn't work. Anyway, we've got to probably breeze through a few of these, or else this is going to be a very, very long podcast.
This one's interesting. Diversity in games is pandering and hollow. It sticks out like a sore thumb when a character exists merely to fill a diversity quota.
Yes.
So here's my problem with this, all right? So in terms of all media, I like my media to kind of replicate the world that I live in. I like to see representation in the world that I see in the games that I am. Here's the big, like, twist in the real world. I exist, and I'm not pandering, and I'm not hollow, and I'm not filling a quota. There's this idea that, you know, LGBT characters and people of color should only exist if they're filling some form of point in the story. I have no problem if they're gay because it's for the story, but if they're gay for the sake of being gay, it's so unnecessary. I am sorry to tell you, but I am gay for the sake of being gay. I'm not a plot point in anyone's story, so shove it. Like, that's a ridiculous point of view to have on this. You know, I prefer characters who do just happen to be gay.
Yeah.
Devrim in Destiny 2. He mentions his husband. He talks about the love of his life, Mark. I think it's Mark. And It has no point to the plot. You never meet Mark. You don't care. But he has some flavor text which reveals that he is gay. And I love it. And it has no point to the story. And he just gets to exist because guess what? In the real world, we just get to exist.
Exactly. And I think once again, you can kind of draw parallels between the commenter and the kind of insights, what's going through their mind. If a diverse character is sticking out to you like a sore thumb, maybe that's a problem. Why is it that diversity sticks out to you? Why is it so recognizable and so instantly kind of, you know?
It's a thing where for us, we recognize it because we're looking for it. We were like, oh my God, I see myself represented. That brings joy. If these people have a problem with it and they're noticing it and it's sticking out like a sore thumb, it means that you have a problem with us.
Yeah.
And you might want to say, no, I don't have a problem with gay people. But if this is something that is affecting you like this, you do. You might just internalize it.
If there's any credit to this comment, it's the part of being hollow. But I think there's hollow characters regardless of diversity. I think game developers, some of them are just really bad at writing characters. So
big time.
If you find a hollow character within a video game, it might not be because they're some diverse character included just to fill a quota. It could just be because that team is not that good at writing video game characters.
I do feel sometimes it feels a bit pandery in terms of, but I feel like that's less marketing and sometimes, less development and more marketing. I remember when Dorian was revealed and they're like, he's a fully gay character, and the developers like, yeah, we just wrote him like he was just going to be gay, but like marketing jumped on it hard and made a big deal out of it.
Yep, I think that's fair. How about this next one? The majority of gamers are straight white men, therefore the majority of characters should be straight white men. It's not uninclusive, it's just smart business. How do we feel about that?
I'm so stupid. So you're like, great, you're a majority, but that's not 100%. That's not 100%. And guess what? The character diversity in video games is nowhere near 100%. Like, we're not even over 50% of characters in gaming are of color or are queer or are women. There are clearly more male characters in gaming than female.
Yep.
That is obvious. That can be seen anywhere. You can do the math if you want to prove me wrong, but, you know, maybe get a life instead. The reality is, we're not going for 100%. Your white characters still exist. No one's taking them away from you. They'll still be there. But sometimes there's some other things in the world. If you open your eyes, you might see that in your own world.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. This one's easy to rebut because, quite simply, there is no agenda to force every single character in a video game to be diverse. All people are asking for is a little bit more representation to get to that point where it's like almost like, you know, it's matching what society is.
A really quick side note, but it's a really cool little story. When I first went to America, I had only seen America through the eyes of television. And so I thought that maybe 10% of the people that I would meet at New York would be black. When I got there, no, it was a completely different. And it was such an eye-opening moment for me when I arrived in New York and I was like, oh my God, there's way more people of color than I ever realized. And then I started to see my own world that way. And I came back from America having seen that the world is way more checkerboard, dare you say it, than I originally realized. And I realized that media had been lying to me my whole life.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people are taking media at face value up to this point.
Yeah, and now that they're saying it changed, they're saying, well, now it's non-reflective, even though it's actually just trying to catch up
exactly.
And be more reflective. It's ridiculous when a game's roster has more diverse characters than non-diverse. Games should reflect the balance that exists in real life. If they are minorities IRL, they should be minorities in the game. Now, this feels pretty targeted at Apex Legends.
Yes, yep.
Which is a game that has more diverse characters than non-diverse characters, whatever that means.
Here's an interesting thing that I'd like to point out with regard to Apex Legends. It's set in the future. and according to a lot of studies, in about 1,000 years, there really won't be that many white people left because of the way that, you know, the races are mixing together. There's, you know, it's not that crazy. It's not that crazy. And also, you're in space and you can jump out of a ship and land and you have space guns. Like, this is such a ridiculous point.
Well, that kind of ties into this other one, so we may as well talk about that together.
Yep.
Having female characters makes no sense in this historical context. It's dumb pandering and breaks immersion.
So this is clearly squared entirely at Battlefield.
How did you know?
Like, Battlefield took the, like, copped this hard. And now here's my favorite thing is, like, it first happened when the Russian soldier was added in Battlefield 1. They had a Russian female soldier. And it was like, historically, that's inaccurate. Problem is, it isn't. There was a Russian women's battalion. they didn't see a huge amount of frontline action, but they definitely saw action. One of the most famous snipers of World War II was a woman who killed, I think it's something like 130 Nazis in a day because she was like stuck. And everyone's like, they can't be part of it. That's so unrealistic. And it's like, it's not. That's the problem. It's not. Like, women have been part of war, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Just because we maybe boost those numbers a little bit, so be it. And guess what? My female friends who wanted to play Battlefield were so excited to see a character that represented themselves in the game. And again, you've got guns that are not historically accurate.
Yeah.
And you're playing a video game that glorifies one of the most horrific wars in our history. But you don't have a problem with that. You just have a problem that one of the characters there happens to be a woman.
Agreed. Here's my big point on this one. Games don't have to be historically accurate. Nobody is forcing that.
Yep.
And I think if games were historically accurate, they'd be bad games because what we want is fun. What we don't need particularly is realistic. I think there are things like Civil War reenactments and stuff that try to go for historical accuracy. If you want to do that, go for it. They exist.
Get into your specialty stuff. AAA don't need that.
Yeah, exactly. Like what these games are trying to be is they're trying to be as broad as possible so that they make as much money as possible. And if... you know, including this diversity means more people can engage in it and connect with characters and have fun with it, then that's what they're going to do because it's not only socially correct, it makes sense business as well.
I think that's one of the big things you hit on the head as well. Fun. Just let it be fun.
Fun tops everything else.
Let someone else have fun. Yeah. You've had plenty. I think this is the other thing. White male protagonists have existed in games for so long. You've got plenty of games to play. Let someone else have a game to play.
I think we've got time for one more, Cam. Do you want to read the very last one for us?
Oh, the very last one. Oh, yeah, we definitely... oh, wow.
We skipped a couple. Yep. That's okay.
Gamers written with diversity suffer because characters exist not because they are good characters, but because there's a diversity quota to fill. Badly written diverse characters do more damage than good because they turn into characters not remembered for their depth or personality, but merely remembered for their diversity.
Yeah. So this is the idea that characters can be so hollow and just created merely to tick off a diversity quota mm-hmm. that they do more damage than good.
Yeah. So, and this, I think, this really ticks a box, I think, in some aspects to trans characters, especially male to female trans characters. We were then often overtly sexualized. I believe there's one in... Nier Automata, it came from, like, it didn't a Dragon Rompa or something come before or something like that?
I have no idea.
Oh, Nier. Yeah. The old Nier games.
Nier games?
No, there was ones before Nier Automata.
Okay.
There was two Nier games, and in that, there was a character who was a male to female transition. And she was hypersexualized.
Yeah.
Always wearing only panties and a giant sword. And it was written kind of not in the best way. One of the Street Fighter characters, Ivy, is she Tekken? She's, again, a trans character who is very sexualized.
If she's Street Fighter, she wasn't in the original. That's all I can tell you.
She wasn't original. I think she came in one of the like later sequels where they added a bunch of side characters.
Okay.
She has like pink hair and like a riding crop.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, no, she's like a wrestler or something. And they weren't written in the best way. And I think people look at this and go, well, you know, you just made them trans to fill that quota, but then they're not very good characters. It's like... I hate to bring it back to Nadine Ross, but sometimes a character doesn't need to... Characters don't need to be flag bearers for a minority. I don't need every gay character in games to be the perfect gay to represent me as a person. I think the reality is that you need to be able to disjoint between what it means to have a gay character and an actual gay person. I think what we really need is sensitivity readers to... I think if you're going to do these, listen. Like, actually find out something about that minority. Like, if you are... There was another question here where it was like, you know, most game developers are white men and you should only write what you know.
Hmm.
I don't think that's true. I think you should be able to be diverse, but it doesn't mean that every story is your story to tell.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to sit here. If I was going to make a game, I would want my game to have a lead black character, but I wouldn't then make that game about what it's like being black. That's not my story, yeah, and I would never tell that story. But it doesn't mean that I can't include racial diversity within the game. It just means that it doesn't have to be the focus. Is this making sense?
Yeah. I think of all of the kind of comments we've read, this kind of last one has at least a little bit of merit. I remember when Andromeda released and there was a trans character who was just started spouting their dead name and saying, I'm trans. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, well, why do you exist?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you exist at all if you're going
to
be such a...
I did not play enough Andromeda to ever meet that character.
If you're such a badly written character that clearly zero time and effort has been put in here, you might be doing more damage than you are doing good because you're acting in such an odd and strange way for a trans person to act, to just declare what your dead name is and tell people that you're trans. It's just such an inconsistent kind of depiction of what a trans person is that maybe it is doing more bad than it is good.
Yeah, there is every chance it is. And I think this is where we talk about, I think sensitivity readers need to be much more involved in the gaming world. They're used a lot in books and in cinema. And basically that's just someone who comes from the minority that you want to represent. And they'll read through and be like, okay, well, here are the points that I have and here's where I think you need to work on it. Problem is a lot of authors will use sensitivity readers and then be really mad that they're being critiqued about, you know, well, you've written this character completely wrong. And then they won't listen to them anyway. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't put the thought out there that it should happen. I think a really good example, there's another podcast that I listen to called The Adventure Zone, which is a D&D podcast. And in it, one of the... They're all white male characters. White male hosts.
Yeah.
And one of the big things that they did is they really wanted to represent diversity in their thing. So they actually, you know, did research. One of them in the second thing plays a character who is of an Inuit background, and he did heaps of research on Inuit legend and myth because it kind of tied into the character. And, you know, did it all get used? No, but he had it there in case he knew, and he meant that he came from an informed point of view on the story.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. Or yeah, bring in other people who, you know, do have these lives and can kind of work alongside developers, yep, and whatnot to tell a story.
I think the reality is in an era where we're looking at narrative being important, we're looking at these kind of character design being important, it's not, you know, 16-bit, you know, just this little character on the screen anymore. We need to be doing more. And if we expect that, like, if it's expected of a movie that they do the proper research behind something before they represent it, it should be expected of a game as well.
Yep. I think that's fair. And I think we probably do have to wrap up here. This is going to be our longest intimate we've ever released. You know, it's a passionate and important topic, so I guess it makes sense. I would like to say that if you're threatened by an increasing number of diverse characters because you're no longer seeing yourself represented as frequently, then have a think about the characters or the people who live diverse lives, mm-hmm, who were never represented up until this point. Like, this is the struggle they went through, except their struggle is real and yours is made up in, yeah, your mind.
Growing up a gay gamer, you either had to make believe a character that never clearly specifies that they're not gay is gay, or you got villains. That's all you got.
Yeah, there wasn't much. Slim pickings.
Kuja from Final Fantasy IX was a bit flouncy, so I immediately was just like, I guess you're a gay that I look up to now, because there's literally no one else.
That is all the time we've got. Cameron, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for letting me get passionate about this, Elliot.
That's okay. I hope some questions were answered. Probably not, though. I feel like most of the people who hold these kind of thoughts don't tend to listen.
Yep. And I'd love if anyone who has listened to this does want to have a conversation about this, reach out. I'm happy to
It doesn't have to end to here. That's no, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
I'm always open to this kind of conversation if people would like to talk further about this.
Absolutely. And that is all the time we've got. Join us next week for more intimate goodness. Bye, guys. We'll